There's this story of this woman who had a son. I mean, who has a son? Yeah, and the son, physically challenged son, and she's punching this child, beating this child.
Her own child.
Yes, she just punching, beating this child, locking the child up in the house, and leaving the child there without food throughout the day. And there's a husband there involved. So we're asking, why do these things still keep on going on? Why do you put your children in that space? You send out a 7-year-old to go and do boy in 2,000 kilometers away.
I know. I mean, I always ask, did these children ask to be born in the first place? Because we're laying this today at the foot of society,
yeah.
Parents, homes,
yeah.
Wards. Children are not asked to be born.
No.
And I think yesterday we were having an argument about why rich people have less number of children. And of course, then the people who are not necessarily...
Well-to-do.
Have mm-hmm. 10, 11,
yes, they have,
12.
You know, some have explained this, that they take procreation, the process of procreation, if that's the only pastime they have. There's no TV. There's no Ludo to play. If they want to just have the only way they can have some form of enjoyment. But there are consequences to that. And
it's
you bring 7 children to this world in this time and age.
It's
my
crazy.
Mother gave birth to 6. My father gave birth to 9. In this time and age, and this ends up your children in all geopolitical zones.
Stretch, I kid you not. When I was younger, when I was like 10, and we went out with my parents.
That's not too long ago.
I'd want to agree because I want to be a baby girl forever. But I always saw, I did not understand at the time why people always, you know, gave my parents that look like, you have only 2?
Yeah.
Only 2? Huh? Madam, you have to... So for me, I thought it was a good thing. It was comely.
Yeah.
But the older I got, I understood that my parents, at a time where people were having more than 5 children,
yeah.
made a choice to have 2 children. And for them, they were a bit more progressive at the time to see the future.
Mm-hmm.
And people still looked at them as...
You're weird.
You're out of place.
Just 2 children.
Why?
You know, you have excuses. Some people say, I have 9 children because my mama only born 1. So what? Your mother gave birth to one. My pa only gets 1 boy. So now you have decided to revenge. You know? So there are things, there are consequences, there are things that cause this. There are things that make this happen. And we're going to be talking to someone who knows.
Yes.
And who will be giving us some insight on this and other.
All right. Once again, our guest today is, of course, of Naktal, Nigeria. He's Abdul Ganiyu Abubakar. He's the national president, Network Against Child Trafficking, Abuse and Labor. Thank you so much, Mr. Abubakar, for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Good morning, listeners. Good morning to you.
Yes, welcome, Mr. Abdul Ganiyu Abubakar. My name is Stretch, and I'm the one taking care of this lady in the studio.
All right.
Thank you. Please take care of her.
All right.
Let's start by looking at some of the challenges that you have had to deal with, you know, as Naktal. What do you think is responsible for the number of children that are being trafficked within and outside of the country?
Thank you. First of all, let me start by saying that trafficking in persons, human beings generally, including children, is a transnational organized crime, is a crime against humanity, and is one of the modern day slavery that children, young people.
So I think that we're having a connection problem with you, Mr. Abubakar. I think that we will try to get you back on. We're unable to hear you because your connection is very poor. So we'll try that again. We'll take you out and bring you back in to see if, you know, your audio is perfect. All right?
Let's see if it's better now, Kevin.
Is it better now?
Yeah, we lost the last thing you said, sir. Can you repeat that? Let's see if the audio is back.
I don't think so.
I don't think you can hear.
I don't think so. All right. Mr. Abubakar, can you hear us?
No,
I'm not. So sorry. We cannot hear you. The connection is really poor. It's breaking and we really can't hear you. I don't know if it's where you are. But we'll try again and see if we can end this call and you know, start all over again. All right. Once we're able to do that, we will bring you back on. All right. Connection issues here and there.
I think it was defining human trafficking. Yes. The trade of humans for the purpose of forced labor, sexual slavery, or commercial sexual exploitation for the trafficker or others. Well, it's a crime against humanity, like he said, and this has been something that has been not just now, but I want to find out why this is still on even at this time and age. People are being informed. People know about this. How come people are still getting into this? Some people want to. Some people have agencies are set up. I know of one that was set up when I was in Abuja. He set up and he came, advertised that he's going to give people jobs in Qatar. He collected lots of money. Yes. And people fell for this. And most of them that got to travel were just taken to, I mean, you get there, they take your passports and you just are a slave. Some could get back, some couldn't. So people are getting more sophisticated means to hoodwink people, to get them, because we're there. if you say on air now, there's a visa to go to Timbuktu, to go to Afghanistan, you
people find are always eager to leave the country.
You know, people want to come. So the people actually make this trade. What role do we play? Where do we stop?
Exactly, because these humans are also members of families. They have families. They have children.
Yeah.
But since we're talking about child trafficking, there's a story that happened on September 4, 2022. Now, operatives of the anti-kidnapping squad of Akwa Ibom State Command had busted a four-man child robbery and trafficking syndicate, in Uruan local government area of the state. Now, the Commissioner of Police, Olatoye Durosimi, disclosed this over the weekend while parading the suspects alongside others allegedly involved in various crimes such as kidnapping, murder, robbery, etc. The commissioner said that investigations revealed that one Felix Adem, also known as Black Bishop, and M. Joe and Fine Boy M. of Idu Uran, abducted one Queen Ime in a village in Uran local government area with her children aged 3 as well as 1.5 from her house into a tricycle, and they took them from Uran to Ibesikpo Asutan. Those are two different local government areas. So they did not just take these kids, they took them and their mother.
Whoa.
But I think we're going to try again with Abubakar and see if he can hear us. Abubakar, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you.
All right, go ahead now.
You were saying something. You're trying to establish a point.
Yes, I started by saying that trafficking in persons is a transnational organized crime. It affects all age groups in the society. Our children and women are more vulnerable. It is a crime against humanity, and all communities in Nigeria are vulnerable to this modern day slavery.
Mm.
So you asked some of the reasons why children are trafficked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there are various reasons why trafficking in human beings persists. Some of those reasons include poverty. The high rate of poverty in Nigerian communities have forced a lot of children, young people, and women into being vulnerable to trafficking in persons. And you will see instances where communities, parents, and even caregivers voluntarily give up their children to traffickers to be trafficked outside the country or interstate, using states of the country in the name of seeking greener pasture, in the name of enhancing their livelihood. We also have ignorance. A lot of young people, children and women who are trafficked are ignorant of the antics of these traffickers. They are ignorant of the red flags. So, and they are unable to understand that these people are traffickers who do not mean well for them, who do not mean well for the society. And we also have issues of uneven distribution of resources. From what we have seen in the field, a lot of our survivors and victims of trafficking in persons are children, women, and young people from our rural communities. And of course, we know that our rural communities are communities where basic social amenities are not available or inadequate. So this tends to encourage young people and children and women to want to come to the cities in search of such basic amenities. And by so doing, the traffickers prey on their vulnerabilities, exploit them in the name of assisting them to get employment or gainfully employed.
I'm curious. I mean, you're talking, I'm so sorry, you're talking more about adults. Yes, adults can decide if they want to move. We see a lot of migration, you know, within the country. Most people, you know, move from the villages to the big cities, etc., etc.
For various reasons.
But children, these children are most vulnerable because they can't think for themselves. They didn't first and foremost ask to be born. Why should they be given out to other people, whether it be family members?
I'm still talking about business-wide children are trafficked. It is not the children that give out themselves. It is the parents who do not have access to these social amenities and felt that they should give out their children to strangers, to family members, to uncles, to aunts, to take them to the town, the cities, to take them out of Nigeria in search of education, greener pasture, livelihood, and so on and so on. So in most cases, it is parents, it is communities, it is caregivers that give out their children willingly, voluntarily, or out of being deceived by these traffickers in the name of all sort of opportunities available in the cities. And then we have both internal and external trafficking. Internal trafficking where children are taken from one city, one town, one village in a state to another state or within states of Nigeria, within regions of Nigeria. For example, there are mass movement of children from north central Nigeria, Benue, Plateau, Nasarawa, Kogi, to other states of northern part of Nigeria in the northwest, Sokoto, Kebbi, Zamfara, Katsina, and Kano, that share borders with Niger Republic, Benin Republic, and other West African countries. We also have mass movement of children from the eastern and south part of Nigeria to the northern part of Nigeria in the north central, FCT, Plateau, Benue, who are used as house helps, who are used for domestic servitude, and who are used to work in restaurants, beer parlors, and other economic activities. And then from the border communities of Sokoto, Kebbi, Zamfara, we see a lot of children who are trafficked through these porous land borders every day to these West African countries and are sold into prostitution. So you see children as young as 11, 12, 13, up to 17 years, in major cities of West African countries in their ghettos being used mostly as sex slaves. So a lot of our children who are trafficked out of this country to most of these West African countries are used as sex slaves. They are used in homes of well-to-do individuals as domestic servitudes, and they are used to work in restaurants, beer parlors, and then in cinemas where they dance, of course, to the pleasure of people in the name of being paid stipends in foreign currencies. So basically, this is the dynamics of internal and external trafficking as it affects the six geopolitical zones of Nigeria. So all states of Nigeria are vulnerable. All states of Nigeria are either source, transit, or destination locations for trafficking in persons, particularly children.
All right, let me ask this, Mr. Abdul Ghani Abubakar. Are there red flags? Are there things we need to look out for to avert this? Because it looks like the whole country is saturated with this. There's no area that is free of this. We are, as the individual, are there red flags? Are there things we'll see? For instance, I'm here. Maybe my aunt in my village would have sent out her children. Are there things I should see to be able to forestall these kind of things from happening, to preempt, to say, don't do this if you see this, don't do this if you see that? Are there things we can do as individuals?
Yes, very well, a lot. First of all, let's know that those who traffic or exploit our children in whatever form are family members, are people who are well known to these children, are people who live very well with these children. So the first advice to parents, caregivers, and community leaders is don't trust anyone with your child. And we are not saying they are no good people.
Okay.
But as a precaution,
99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
From what we have seen, it is uncles, it is aunties, it is daddies, or even parents, very close friends of these children. So as much as possible, we should be very careful of red flags like an aunt or an uncle who is living outside your community or your state or your region, even your country, coming to say that, oh, I would want to have this your child go with me to where I am based to support me at home. I will enroll him or her in school. Or maybe this child is has learned a particular trade and is not making it here in this community. Will you allow me to take this child to where I'm staying so that this child can be gainfully employed? That is a red flag. Then the use of social media as well. Currently, traffickers are exploiting the social media, particularly on the advent of COVID-19 during the lockdown and even after. So these traffickers do no longer go into the communities. They do no longer go to mobilize these children physically, but then they use social media platforms to advertise all sorts of white-collar jobs and opportunities to our children and caregivers.
All right, we have to go for a break, Mr. Abubakar. We have to go for a quick break. When we come back, I'm sure that Lagosians are listening. We'd have questions, but then we would be back to have this conversation more. Just stay with us. Abubakar is still on the line with us, but it's time for a break.
It's What's Up Lagos, baby. Get set.
All right, still the nation's number one talk news and sports radio station, 99.3 Nigeria Info. 31 minutes come past the 11 o'clock hour. We're still talking about trafficking of children. Yes, recently a child traffic syndicate was arrested in Akwa Ibom. They abducted a mother and two children. And of course, these children were going to obviously be taken into some form of slavery. But thank goodness this has been a wanted man and he was caught. But then today we're here to learn about how to protect ourselves and our children from being trafficked. What must we know? How much information is out there for us to understand and tell that this is a trafficker, this is a kidnapper, or this person whose story is too good to be true, maybe too good to be true. Mm-hmm. Well, our guest is still on standby. Abdul Ghani Abubakar is still here with us. Abdul Ghani Abubakar, thank you so much for staying with us. Before we went on the break, we were talking about what we must know and how we can point out who these people are, these traffickers are, especially those who have taken advantage of social media as a new way to catch their prey.
Yes, thank you and welcome back. Yes, I did say that the use of social media to lure our children into being trafficked and exploited is very much on the rise now. Right from the advent of COVID-19, the lockdown and post-lockdown. So the traffickers now, of course, are aware that there is high level of sensitization and awareness in our communities. The government and security agencies are very much at alert. Civil society organizations and media are creating awareness. But then, of course, they still know that poverty exists. There is still rural urban migration. There are still a handful of our children who are living under very difficult situations and circumstances. So they use the social media, various social media platforms to lure these children and young people into believing that there are job opportunities available in cities where they can earn higher, where they can go to school and be paid scholarships, where they can go to school free. Now, all these kind of opportunities are being presented to our children through WhatsApp, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, and so many other social media platforms, and even through the mainstream media. You read newspapers today, you see all kinds of adverts. Then you now have some other schemes like Q-Link that is also available on various social media platforms where our young people and children are being lured closely to these traffickers, and then of course they are exploited within and outside Nigeria. So I'm calling on parents as usual to be very vigilant. Let's be close to our children. Let's not be far away from our children. Let's ensure that we censor the kind of programs and platforms our children are, and then the kind of friends our children keep, both at home, in school, in churches, in mosques, and even the society at large. Let's also censor the kind of programs our children watch, because through these programs, traffickers and exploiters of children have different programs they air on the mainstream and social media now that they use to entice and invite our children. And then, of course, let's also ensure that our children must use mobile phones. Then we employ all forms of parental guidance to protect them and ensure that they are not vulnerable to these traffickers.
In other words,
family is the first level of socialization.
Yeah.
And the family has the responsibility to provide the first form of protection to children. And then, of course, the government and society at large also have their own responsibilities, including civil society organizations and gentlemen of the press like you.
All right. So, I mean, I'm curious. We're going to open up the phone lines because people want to ask questions about how they can protect their children, because sometimes their children are not even taken while they're in your care. It could be in a creche. It could be when you leave them with your maid or something. But when you say children must have cell phones, there's certain children...
If they must have
cell phones. If they must, okay.
There should be parental guardian.
But what about... What about the kind of information you should give your toddlers? Because again, some of these toddlers can speak. What should they know, especially if you're parents of these, you know, infants and not necessarily teenagers?
Yes.
Oh, dear. Abubakar, I think again we are having connection issues with you, unfortunately. But we're going to open up the phone lines because we have a very little or limited time to have this conversation. 0700-993-993-993. That's 0700-993-993-993. Unfortunately, our guest is having some connection issues, and so we are unable to hear him. But we want to hear your questions. He will be on standby again to answer your questions.
Yeah, your opinion also, your questions, your opinion. And also the female line is important this time.
Yes.
01465-7190. 01465-7190. All right. You can be part of this if you have anything to add to this, or even just a question to drop our listener.
Yes.
Guest is still listening.
All right. 0700-993-993-993. Have you had an experience with a child that was yours and you gave, you know, send that child into to stay with your family member and then they were maltreated? Oh, I mean, again, have you been that child? Because I listened to a show one day and a guy was talking about the fact that his own father maltreated him. He lived in the bush. If for every time he did something bad to his dad, he was thrown out and he had to sleep in the bush. So we want to talk about these issues and how we can avoid it. 0700-993-993-993. Hello, good morning. What's up, Lagos?
Good morning.
Good morning. What's your name, sir? Where are you calling from?
My name is Victor and I'm calling from Alakpere.
Go ahead, Victor.
Yeah, so I'm very, very happy about this stuff because something unique happened yesterday at Alakpere bus stop. So a man was carrying a toddler and he was looking so unkempt, so tattered. And, you know, myself and other probably passers-by, we did not notice. But guess what? It was the woman that was hurting him in traffic that spotted him.
Hmm.
She accosted the man. She was asking him questions. Who are you? Now you be the papa. Where the mama be? And the man did not say anything. He was just pointing. He brought out his phone and was pointing. And he was not making any sense. He was not saying anything. The woman had to raise an alarm. She called LATMA officials. They came. They collected the man's phone. They were going through the contact. They asked the man, can you call the mom? The man gave them a number. And they called someone. And the person was not even taking the call. Eventually, the person took the call and they are not hearing what that person was saying. The next thing, they took the man to the police station. I was so happy. So I was very, very, in fact, I was impressed with that lady's awareness level. She knew something was wrong and she flagged it. So I would really, really encourage her. If you see something, say something. That is how we can stop some of these things. If she had not spotted it, I'm very sure that would have added to the start of probably missing it or traffic. So I was very, very happy. So I just decided to keep this thing.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So he's talking about level of awareness.
Vigilance,
yes, alertness.
All of us,
yes,
we're all involved in this, yeah?
Yeah, because again, we also live in a time where everybody just, you know,
tries to mind their business
as opposed to, you know, being vigilant and checking what's happening in your environment to be sure, you know, about not just your safety, but the safety of those around you. Hello, good morning, what's up, Lagos?
Turn on the volume of the radio.
Oh, dear, I think we lost that call. Please call us back if you can. Hello, good morning, what's up, Lagos?
Hello.
What's up, Lagos? What's your name?
Please turn off your radio.
Can you hear me?
Turn down the volume of your radio. Move away from it.
Okay, just a second. Let me just turn it off.
Thank you.
Just walk away from the radio set, please.
He's doing that.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, my name is Longinus Somak.
Go ahead.
Your guest, I wanted to ask him a question.
Okay, go ahead then.
Okay, I quite agree with you that the problem of this child trafficking is from the parents and because of poverty. So I want to ask, because some of these big men who lure these parents and their children into trafficking, some of them are very, very honest. So are you saying that all the parents will not verify and find out the honest ones among them and oblige with the help that they are going to render for them?
Mm.
Do you get the question?
Mm. So you're saying that if this person is somebody you know and is, as in your own, from your perspective, they are very honest and you check them and you think that they're honest, should you not give your children to them?
Yes, that's my question.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. Mr. Abubakar, would you like to respond to that?
Yes, I would like to respond to that by saying that in my opening, I actually said parents should be vigilant. Parents should be very conscious of giving their children out. Yes, you have a lot of, not just big men, even poor people who are honest, who will train their children just like they will train theirs with very good upbringing. But then in a society where majority, we have seen from the field, we are in the field, I have had to travel from Nigeria across West Africa by road, following these border communities and ghettos where our children and young people are trafficked to. You will find out that in 96% of cases of trafficking of children, the parents are involved. And then people who traffic them are people who are known to these children, okay, who are known to these communities, mm-hmm, who are known to these parents. So even if a rich man does not traffic your child, that rich man can sexually abuse your child. The children of that rich man can sexually abuse your children. They can exploit your children in such a way that your children will be the ones that will work for 21 hours.
Abubakar, again, I'm so sorry. Your line is a bit problematic, but we'll try again. Hello, good morning. What's up, Lagos?
What's up, Lagos?
Good day.
What's up, Lagos? What's your name?
Okay, my name is Ben. I'm calling from Songota.
Right.
I want to report an incident to you so that maybe people can help in this matter.
Go ahead.
I'm a transporter. I run from Underbridge, Songo, towards Iju Aton, that is Iroko Road. The bridge there, an accident happened there about 2 weeks ago. The handrail was broken. The motor fell across it.
Okay.
Since then, nothing has been done as in replacing the handrail.
Okay.
Two, the bridge, when the vehicles move on it, it shakes as if it's vibrating. The status of the bridge, I don't know if there's anyone that is trying to take notice or has doing what is necessary. I mean, to check the integrity of the bridge. That is
okay.
Two.
All right. Thank you
very much for calling. Unfortunately, we're not having that conversation, but somebody is listening. Somebody will take note.
I'm sure they've taken information.
Yes, for that information, because you're talking about the integrity of the bridge and if it can hold for long. But, well, for those who are just joining us, we're talking about trafficking, and we've been talking about a child trafficking syndicate that was busted, and we're looking at what parents need to do, society needs to do, to make sure that we reduce the number of children that are being trafficked in and around Nigeria. The numbers to call 0700-993-993-993. Our guest, Abdul Ganiyu Abubakar, is still with us. Abdul Ganiyu, before we went on that call break, you were talking about something before you got cut off by the connection.
Yes, I was responding to the gentleman who talked about rich people. You know, when we talk about trafficking, we also have other related issues that are not necessarily trafficking, but when they happen to children, they can predispose them to trafficking. So I talked about it is possible that a rich man can be honest, yes, but then his children can exploit your children sexually. Your children can be overlabored in the house. They are the ones who remain awake till late night. They are the ones who wake up first to prepare all the children to go to school. Your children will have to remain awake for 20 hours, only sleep for 3-4 hours, taking care of the children of these rich people, running all kinds of errands. We've also had instances where children are given all they need in terms of material things, but they are sexually exploited by these adults who take them into care. So all we are saying is that parents should be very vigilant, be sure of whoever you are giving your children to, and then ensure that you have a system or mechanism in place where you pay visits or schedule visits, where you also have people who look over your children who are in the hands of caregivers, in the hands of uncles, under the care of other caregivers who are not their biological parents. And even biological parents also exploit children. Mm-hmm. So children are gifts. We must do all within our limit to ensure that we provide the best care and treatment for these children, and then also bring back that social safety net that often provides protection for our children. It is the responsibility of everyone.
What?
Okay, a responsibility of everyone, like the example given that the woman that was hawking beans saw something and did something about that. So it's everybody's responsibility to pry, so to say. And Maria said something now, in this time and age, everybody's trying to like mind their corner. How do we draw this line? Like what you just said now, you said one of the solutions you gave was parents should be parents.
Mm.
You know, like you check your child, not just send the child off to school, they come back, I want money for this, that's all. You need to look into their lives and find out what's going on. Now, you said something also that's scary to me. Parents can also exploit children. How do I intervene in a home where a father or a mother is doing bad to their own child?
Mm.
How do I come in as a neighbor? Are there places where authorities we can get to call who will do something about these situations? Knocking on someone's door and say, I don't like the way you're beating your child, it could cause a problem for you, the knocker. So how do I get to do this? Is there something in society that is an organization of sorts that can help do this?
Yes, very well. We in every community, of course, we have community traditional and religious leaders. The family is the first safe level of socialization. We encourage awareness, we encourage sensitization of such parents if it is possible. And then where it is not possible, like you said, then we have civil society organizations all around. We have the media like you. You can report to media organizations. You can also report to security agencies. In every local government, we have a divisional police office. Mm. We have a divisional office of the Nigerian Security and Civil Defense Corps. They are all very good partners in the fight against human trafficking. We also have NAPTIP, that is the National Agency for the Prohibition of Trafficking Persons, which have the mandate, of course, of the government on trafficking, and they are also the custodian of the Violence Against Persons Prohibition Act, that is the VAP. And then we also have the, like in Lagos, you have the Lagos Neighborhood Security Agency.
Yeah.
They are a very good partner in the fight against trafficking.
Okay.
We are working very closely with them. And then you have other institutions you can report suspected cases of abuse and exploitation of children too. And I'm sure these organizations will escalate such cases for the attention of necessary security agencies.
All right. Abdul Ghani Abubakar is the national president of Network Against Child Trafficking, Abuse and Labor, NACTAL, Nigeria. Abdul Ghani, we apologize. The network has not been so friendly, but thank you so much for being part of the conversation. We appreciate it.
We did get a lot from your interaction with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. Thank you, listeners.
All right. Well, that's where we wrap this conversation up. Well, we're not leaving yet because we have some more information for you. But before we go, here's our info girl.
She's back.
Back like I never left. Guess what? I'm here to tell you about Nokia T20 anyway. And it's bringing to you all the things that strike you the most about the Nokia.
And I want to assume that you would run because I want to give the listeners context for the conversation.
In 2019, you were running late to Atiku Abubakar. What did you learn then that you will not repeat this time?
Yes, when is the president coming out to address us?
There's a few things. One, I have a burden and a passion for young people.
The fact that you have elected a man does not mean then you begin to order him around. The president will do whatever is good for the country at any given time.
Mr. Adesina, isn't the president responsible to the people?
What should the next president do to root out stakeholders who are complicit?
You fire them. Those that need to be fired, they're fired.
It's looking like a brand new Chelsea, attacking with so much fluidity. Now, what can you say about that, Martin? I know you follow Chelsea quite closely.
I live close to the Chelsea training ground. That's what you mean by that. I'm not a Chelsea.